feeling the Lord's love this morning has been pretty amazing. I guess most of you have seen real changes with Steve and I over this last year. It's just been touching our lives so totally differently. And it's all been about him, you know, how on earth could anything ever be about us? Because when it was about us, it was pretty empty. And over this last year, he's just brought us so close to him, and he's brought worship into our hearts. It's just changed our lives. And it's all about him. So this sermon is all about him, and it's all about the fact, the absolute fact that he loves every single one of you. You cannot escape that reality. Even if you want to put it away, it's always the truth. The truth is that he just adores you, and he adores every single one of you. Even pick you there. So, I had a sermon, it's taken it away, half of it, so that you'll be glad about that. Because it's all about him this morning and what he wants us to know. So, so last time we looked, a fortnight ago, we looked at the first commandment, which is to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and our mind, our passion. And so today, obviously, it's going to be about loving each other. And Jim, thank you so much for your prayer already and the encouragement that we are a family and that we need to be united in loving each other. The passage of scripture I've got, the readings from John 13, 34 to 35. Let me give you a new commandment, love one another. In the same way I've loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When they see the love that you have for each other. Do you think that words or actions or good deeds will influence the world? It's not what Jesus says. What Jesus says very, very clearly is that if people can see the love that's coming around from the Waikaka Natal Church, they'll be struck by it. If they see that our love is beyond a human love in this church, that we have such love and compassion and care and excitement about each other, and that's what's going to change this district. Don't believe any other thing. It's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus says, my love will change the world. My love is what will be the evidence of my reality in the world. And then in John 15, verses 9 to 17, just following the passage on the vine and the branches, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Well, there's a sermon for a year. I've loved you the way my Father loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you remain intimately at home in my love. In other words, you're in my love by salvation and by belief and by him calling us in. But as we keep in obedience and following his commands, we're intimately at home in his love. And that's what Jesus said, I've done. I've kept my Father's commandments. So he obeyed his Father too and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that your joy might be your joy, my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I've loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking in panic. No, I've named you friends, because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me, remember, I chose you, and put you in the world to be a fruit. Fruit that won't spoil, as fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. When I was preparing this and praying it through, I felt very strongly that God was saying to me that when we truly love each other, when we really love each other, we want the best for each other. So what's the best for each other? So Jesus, that first slide. This is what he said. the best for each other is to love each other closer to Him. Makes sense, doesn't it? If He is the best for us, if He is the one that fills us and gives us hope and life and futures and everything, then what we should be doing is encouraging each other or loving each other closer to Him. I haven't sort of ever thought of it from that aspect before. If you're uncomfortable with the word loving, the Lord said, don't let it be a burden for you. If you're uncomfortable with this word loving here, put spiritually encourage each other. Okay, because some of us have a concept of love as being sort of a wee bit sort of overwhelming or gushy or emotional. God says, put spiritually encourage each other. This is what I want the Lapta Waikiki Church to do. To love each other is to love each other closer to me. And Jim's done a really good preach the sermon this morning. This is about response. This is about loving each other. So all we're doing is encouraging each other closer to Him. Why do we do it? Well, there's lots of reasons, and I'm just going to briefly go through the section, very brief, thanks Jesus. Most of you will realise that God's been using us to do in a ministry of healing in our home. We've had a lot of people come and go, and in that, it's been to actually deal with the healing of the depth of people's hurts. And the core healing, well, all I've learned is you just send it to Him. I've just totally learned that. It's just nothing. I drown all the time. I have no idea at the time what to say or do. But He is the one that can totally meet this. And we've been going to Keith and the Calvin Baptist Church for counselling with young people and the other ones for ourselves as well. And he's used this model. So this is a Christian counselling model. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. But it basically what it says is that if you've got the core, which is the red in there, right with God, that core spirituality or those core needs met, then you it influences the rest of your life. And so Glenis and I and other ones have been involved with health science, as you know, there's lots of models out there. This is a good model though, because it's saying that this is this core needs that we have in our lives that have to be met for us to be healthy. And so from that we make our rational thinking, okay, from our core needs being met or not met, because it works both ways. And then our volition is our will, so our thinking, our will, and then our emotional, and then our physical responses all come from our core needs. Thanks, Jess. So the first core need that we talk about is this need to be loved. Well, you're absolutely loved. Every single one of you in this church is absolutely loved. You don't even need to go further. And I couldn't, when I was going through this, I just, there it was. In the second passage from John 15, we had all these needs met. Our core need for love. Verse 9, I loved you the way the Father loves me. It's there. It's totally there. 1 John 4:17 and 18 says, God is love. When you take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. We are totally at home in His love. That's our first core need. Our parents provide and give us models, but it's God that completely enables us to feel loved. Our second core need, thanks, Jess. To be valued. Next slide, Jess. And there we are in this little passage again. Our core need of being valued is there. Jesus says, you're not servants, you're friends. I don't know about you, but that is incredible. That the God who created heaven and earth, who is so powerful and mighty, is my friend. Oh, look, it's just truths that continually need to be blowing us away because it just changes us. 1 John 4, 7-8 says, my beloved friend, let us continue to love one another. Since love comes from God, everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. Second core need met. God, we are valued by you. Third core need. The need to have a purpose. There's three core needs. Love, value, and purpose. And that the purpose is that we actually feel we're contributing or we're needed. And, you know, it's like Keith was encouraging us to make sure that if people live with us, they have a role to play in doing a job. They're feeling valued because they actually have got a purpose in our family. But Jesus said, you've got a purpose. You've got a purpose to obey my commandment, to love each other. You've got a purpose to bear fruit. You've got a purpose to care and fulfill the Beatitudes. You've got so many purposes. Praise God. You know, bring in the psychologists, bring in people with needs. We can say that with our God, He meets our core needs. He meets our need for love, He meets our need for value, and He meets our need for purpose. Well, up the stand, let's read together what we want to say. Okay, thanks, Jess. Next one. Everybody? Let's stand. Two sides, let's say it. I am loved by God. I am so valued by God that I have become His friend. I have a purpose to love God. Next one, Jess. We, the Napdol Waikaka Church, are all loved by God. We are valued by Jesus, and we are His friends. We will allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with Himself so that we can bear fruit and bring joy and God's love to others. Thank you. Sorry, everybody. It's just, you know, God's just woken me so much this morning, and I'm really just so thankful because he's just loves you, and He's just given me so confirmation and warning from, you know, right from the week I was, my Bible studies and everything, how much He just has cares about you. And I know one day in church I was asked to me, I was overwhelmed with His word to you, how much He loves you, and how much He adores everybody in this church. Boy. It's pretty mind-boggling stuff, isn't it? Because we don't actually feel it ourselves. How can we be really feeling it ourselves? Okay, so we've now done the whys very quickly. But how do we really do it? How do we really love each other or spiritually encourage each other closer to Him? I could, you know, there's weeks and weeks and weeks of sermons on this one, so please, this is just so simple now. Try to keep it simple for Him. But really, how do we really love each other? Because there are things that come between us and God. There are hurts, and there are lies, and there are emotions that come between us. And I've seen you seen it over the last year. I've seen lies that people have had about God in their hearts, but they don't even know they're God. I've came to see that people can distrust the Father God because they've actually had an unsaved human father. And even though they think they know, when it comes to the core of their belief, they actually don't trust God as a father. How could you? Because He's not reliable. And He's a bully. You know, and to see God heal there. I've also seen lies about works and about service that we can still consider ourselves worthy of our salvation. So we deny Jesus as a sacrifice and we don't repent. Oh, and I don't know about you, but I really, Holy Spirit, I've just got, you know, boy, I've got a lot to learn about Him. And the poor Holy Spirit, He always seems to be perceived as creating out-of-control emotionalism. I don't know if you believe that, but that was my past belief of the Holy Spirit. Well, it is so totally wrong. There's no out-of-control emotionalism with the Holy Spirit. How can there be? Because He's totally His fruits. The fruits of the Holy Spirit include peace, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. And just to see how much these things can come between us and separate us from this love of God. There's some of these beliefs and lies and hurts that we've had. And, you know, let's get rid of them because we don't want anything separating us from Him. So, how can we do it? Hebrews 10:24 says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together, but spurring each other on closer to Him. How do we do it? Well, obviously the first thing we do is, as individuals, we get closer to Him. There's no way we're going to do it, care for each other, if we don't have a close intimacy with Him. I said this morning we've had lots of blessings. This is one that we had this morning. Olivia's reading this book and it's sitting on the bed, on the window, so you can pick it up. It's called God is Love, and it's written by Francis Chan, and the wee bird at the back says, have you ever wondered if we're missing? It's crazy if you think about it. The God of the universe, the creator of nitrogen, pine needles, galaxies, and E minor. I love that, E minor, such an amazing key. Loves us with a radical, unconditional, self-sacrificing love. And what's our typical response? We go to church, we sing songs, and we try not to swear. Whether you've verbalized it yet or not, we all know something's wrong. Does something deep inside your heart long to break free from the status quo? Are you hungry for an authentic faith that addresses the problems of the world with tangible, even rational solutions? Well, God's calling you to a passionate love relationship with Himself. Because the answer to religious complacency isn't working harder at a list of do's and don'ts. It's simply falling in love with God. And once you've accounted His love, you'll never be the same. If we're going to love each other and spiritually encourage each other, we've got to be getting closer and closer to Him. There's no end to the intimacy. I don't know where you think there's going to be an end to your intimacy with God, that you're going to reach a point and that's all you're going to get. There's no, it's just garbage. There's no end to His intimacy. There's absolutely none. You know, it just blows you away. You think, oh, I've got it starting everywhere. He has got so much more for us. His intimacy, His doors that He opens, things that He shows us. The prayer life, when you meet people that have spent years in prayer, you know, they just blow you away. There's people in the church that always encourage me because they've been so close to Jesus for years, and you know, I know they'll want more and more of a long time. Eleanor just blows me away every time I see her. Margaret, you know, Meryl, you know God and yet you want more, and you bring that to us. Because there is so much more that we can have. Experience deep in His love, so you're full and flowing out. We only love each other from the overflow of His love in our lives. We want more and more of His love. We want to grow closer to Him. Lord, that's our prayer. Closer and closer to Him. Secondly, have a desire to take responsibility and start to care for each other in this church. The whole New Testament, I went looking for passages and it was just everywhere. As a church, everywhere, and the New Testament is talking about caring for each other. We're not alone. We are as a church. We have to take responsibility to love and spiritually encourage each other. That's our job in this church. I see it in families. We've got families in this church. And they give us such a model, you know, of caring for each other. You know, the extended families. Don't just stay within your own. There's lots more of us in this church that really would love to receive it a lot more. Care can be practical when you take responsibility, of course. There's a serving each other. There's providing time. There's interest in each other's lives, there's financial support. All these are practical solutions for caring each other. But they're also gifts, using our gifts of hospitality, of service, giving and encouragement. How else can we love and spiritually encourage each other? Three, let's share honestly some of our spiritual questions, our concerns, our realities. We're allowed to ask questions of God. We're allowed to have doubts. We're allowed to be unsure about things. We're allowed to ask each other, how do you include that in your life? How do you make that work? There's an in word now, it's called soul talk. You know, that's the in word, soul talk. And it's actually about working through hurts and lies and issues together in prayer. Like Jim talked about this morning, praying together, getting together to pray. Okay, so that's number three. Number four is listening to Him individually. When we have an intimate relationship with God, He will tell us stuff. My reading from Martin Luther the Highest, I don't know if any of you have read The Gospel of Chambers. Martin Luther the Highest, it's over 100 years old, this book. Well, not the book, but yeah. He's written some amazing stuff. And my reading this morning, well, thank you, Lord. The rehabilitation of the human race, according to Jesus Christ's plan, means the realization of Jesus Christ in corporate life, as well as individual life. Jesus Christ sent apostles and teachers for this purpose, that the corporate personality might be realized. We're not here to develop a spiritual life of our own, or to enjoy spiritual retirement. We're here to realize Jesus Christ in the body of Christ, so it may be built up. The question is, am I building up the body of Christ, or am I only looking for my own personal development? When you're close to Him and you're praying, sometimes He's going to give you words for our church. Sometimes He's going to give you spiritual songs for our church. He's certainly going to give prophecies. And we are very, very blessed in this church with the number of prophets that we do have. Sometimes He gives us visions. We've had Hope Webster doesn't mind, but she's had a couple of beautiful visions for our church recently. And one of them was that we were in this field, and on this field was all of us gathered together, but there were people outside the field. And the responsibility of us in the field was to actually call them onto the field, to smile at them, to welcome them. Another vision that somebody had a while ago was that we're all under a cloud in this church, and he's actually combining us closer and closer together. So that under this cloud, we're actually getting really, really close and growing in him. But that cloud is not going to open up until members have come back in. Okay? So both those prophecies have been about calling back and resurrecting relationships for people that should be in this church. So you may know who they are, I don't know, but just to pray for them and bring them back in so that when he wants to move, he's going to open up those clouds and the blessings are going to be enormous. And those people are going to be on the field with us. And another picture that Glenn has had was pretty amazing, of all of us on a trampoline. And we were on this trampoline holding hands, bouncing together. And the strength that came from that unity was much greater from the individual. We were united together, bouncing together. So all of you, as you come close to him, bring them to our service. We all benefit from them. Encourage each other to trust. And Jim's doing that at the moment when he's sending around all your invitations to for gifts. We need to trust the gifts that he's given us, the passions that we have. You know, Judy, she's a bit, sort of a loud extrovert. Well, for a long time, to be really honest, I struggled in this church and thought I was really wrong. That I was actually something wrong with me, to be honest. That I was over-emotional, that my extrovert enthusiasm wasn't really right. You know, I'm so sorry, guys, that I let it happen. Because that's what God's given me. He's given me enthusiasm, he's given me passion. It's my gifts to bring to the church. And when I don't bring them, well, you miss out on perhaps my whole noise. But, you know, God, all of us, you know, we must encourage each other. We must strengthen each other's ministries and passions and abilities, and never ever feel that because yours is different, it's wrong. Strengthening all of them brings us closer to him. Jim has preached on Ephesians, it's on his heart all the time at the moment. Ephesians, body stuff, caring for each other, providing for each other, encouraging each other. Anthony came in March and he had a word for us too, just another example. Of words that can come to our church. I don't know if many of you will pick this up, but this is a word Anthony had for our church in March, and what an encouragement this one is too. God does not give us words empty. He gives us words and he requires that we actually obey them, that we pray them through, and we grow from them. So, number 6 on how we can encourage and grow each other closer to him and love each other is pray. When we love, we pray. Esther, your prayer again. Well, that prayer is our prayer for our church at this stage, I really believe, and it's been confirmed by other people. You know, Esther's prayer that fortnight ago, God's given that to us. One thing that's really amazed me about working with young people more and more is they're desperate for prayer. I mean, when we say, you know, pray for you or pray for each other, we usually don't turn up or we won't hide or we're too ashamed, but not young people. Oh, at the camp, Lydia said to me, they'll come to your workshop because I know they're going to get prayed for. What? It's not our norm, is it? But it's their norm. They want prayer. They want prayer all the time. They want to be prayed for. And so this is really what God wants us to do. He wants us to really take our heart to pray for each other as a church. He wants us to be seeking more prayer from each other and receiving more support. That's what he wants. He wants us to love each other deeper and deeper, and loving each other or spiritually encouraging each other closer to our Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let us remember that it's always about responding to Him, that He loved us first. That He is a God of love. He is the God of love. Let's pray. We are loved by You. We are valued by You to become Your friends. We have a purpose to love You and to love each other. Help us, Lord. Pour Your Spirit upon this church. Fill our hearts so that all we want to do is encourage each other closer to You. You are God. And Your love will change the world. Open our hearts so we allow Your love to change us, to love You and to love each other, so that we can love the world and fulfill Your commandments. And bring glory and honor and praise to You. We love You. Amen.